something happening in his presence and in the midst of our worship of him in that presence. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hallelujah. That's right. God's continuing a work here. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Ah, go ahead. There's anointing to do what we're doing right now. There's direction and leading of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship is never out of order when given to me. And then there are times that I put certain ingredients into the midst of the worship. Miraculous ingredient is added at times where I am wanting to do a work of the miraculous. Liberty is added in at other times, deliverance. And I want to set free. I want to do those things this very morning. And so as you worship me, the one who can do those things and do them to a greater extent than any other can perform them, I am going to perform those things in your midst. Give me your free worship. Go ahead and give me your heart, and I will also work in your midst, saith the Lord. I receive it, God, and I want to give it to you. With your mind on him and your thoughts toward you, Lord. With our thoughts toward you. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 Part of the attention of the Word of God today is to know who God is and what God is. And we've been singing about some of those things today. But the purpose of him giving his word at any time, and this morning certainly, to know more about him and who he is. And then also, when we recognize that, to give him praise and exaltation as we have been doing. And I would say, don't let it be diminished and don't hold back one little bit. But be passionate about worship. And what some might describe as extreme, when it's about God, it is never extreme about him. Because he is worthy beyond our words. And he also wants us to allow him to manifest himself so that we might better grasp who he is and what he can do and what he wants to be in our lives. From John chapter 15, and beginning at the first verse. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes that branch away. And later on, he describes what is done with those branches, the burning in the valley. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges those so that they would bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, and it's a similar word to the word purged up above. You're clean, you're purged. Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Aren't you glad the word's been spoken into your life? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch can't bear fruit by itself, except it abides and stays attached to the vine, no more can you except you abide or stay attached in me. I am the vine, he repeats. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to happen in your life. No matter what circumstances of the enemy might have said. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Your life has the potential, Jesus said, of bringing forth much fruit. And I encourage you today to embrace that promise of the Lord. Don't belittle yourself, or don't belittle the presence of God that is equipping you and empowering you. You will bring forth much fruit. And then he tells us that without him, we can do nothing. Would you just praise this great I am once again today, Lord? You are so many things in our life. And we exalt you for all that you have done even this very morning. And your presence and your ministry upon us this very day. And I thank you for what you're about to do. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for all of the things that you can do, those that you have done in the past and what you will do in our future. We thank you, great I am, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Another of God's I ams spoken by Jesus. A revelation comes to us here in this first verse of the 15th division of John. I am the true vine. The disciples that day, the Jewish population, any others that might have heard that on that day, and you and I need this true vine revelation and manifestation of the Lord in our lives. He could have just said, I am the vine. Why add the descriptive term true? I am the true vine. As always, there's a purpose in every word that Jesus uttered and that was put in to the Word of God, both Old and New Testament. He had a purpose for adding that descriptive term of true vine. When you read through Scripture, you might remember that Israel was also likened to a vine. It was God's label upon them. They were supposed to have been the vine, but they failed. And there's much Old Testament analogy language that talks about the garden or the vineyard being overrun. In other words, the people, God's people, could not be and they did not succeed in being the vine that God wanted them to be. So Jesus adds this word to let his hearers then and now know, I'm not going to fail you like men and women may fail you. He says, I am the true. I am the valid. I am the genuine vine. I'm going to step in and fulfill what others could not do. And so I submit to you today, what other powers and what other things, whatever they are, spiritual or natural, what other things could not be and could not do in your life, the true vine can do in your life. This one name, Jesus, that we are praising and exalting today, he can take care of every situation and every dilemma and every circumstance and any sickness or any marital issue or any relationship problem or any family issue, the Lord can do it because He is the true vine. Not just any vine, but He can step in and fulfill the truthfulness of what a vine is supposed to be and do. Jesus gives this revelation not only to describe who and what He is and what we can expect from Him, but also to fairly inform us of what He expects from us and how He will work on us. It's evident in the second verse. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He purges so that it can bring forth more fruit. The true vine, and it is important that we understand this, the true vine desires and expects fruit from our connection. God has an expectation about all of us spiritually as we live in this life. And I would also tell you that the Lord allows for no excuses. So do not mislead yourself or anybody else into excusing themselves from spirituality or from growing and increased spirituality. I would also add, there is no excuse. God does not want us to be misled away from truth. God's truth. It does make a difference what we believe. It does make a difference who we believe in. And I know there is a thinking and it has some merit to it. I've heard folks say, well, at least they are going to church. And there is merit in that. But the important thing is find a church where the truth of God and the true God is being worshiped. Jesus said, I'm not just any vine. I will tell you, God's church is not just any church, but it is a church that is founded upon the truths of the Word of God. And everything that's in there, from the acknowledgement that there is one God to the salvation plan of the new birth and every other expectation of God that's given to us in this true vine, it's important that we stay attached to the true vine. I just feel to express to somebody the deep way I feel this today. Do not even entertain the notion or the thought of walking away from truth, or walking away from holiness, or walking away from the ways of God. This is the way, He said, walk in it. And there's a lot of pressure that is coming to us. And there are a lot of excuses and justifications that things have changed and the world has changed and religion has changed. I know all of that, but there's still one that is just as true today as He was when He uttered this word. There is a true vine. There is a true way to live. It does make a difference who we believe in and what we believe. So He allows for no excuses. We must stay attached and let the nutrients from that true vine flow into us as the branches. Someone said, we can't become what we need to be by remaining what we are. And I lay this out as a challenge to us today. Whatever you are, whatever you have been, certainly maintain that in God. But do not settle or do not stay at that place. Because to become what we need to be, we must stay attached. And there must be the growth. And there must be the spiritual photosynthesis. And the work of the Holy Ghost as the true Sun of Righteousness shines down into your life. The measurement of our fruitfulness, yours and mine, is not how are you doing in comparison to another believer, but rather how much spiritual fruit and growth are you producing compared to, let's just say, 1 year ago at this time? God is not satisfied. God has not called us to stay the same. That happens for a while to a branch that is cut off. But eventually, after staying the same for a little while, it begins to wither and die. Do not fear growing slowly. Your growth may be minimal. Your growth may be incremental. You may not be everywhere you want to be. Don't fear growing slowly. Fear standing still. There's a call to consecration today. There's a call to commitment and rededication and recommitment. Your competitor is not another believer. Your competitor is yourself. Where am I in God? How am I producing and progressing? The great I am wants us to be able to make an I am statement saying, I am growing. And I put this to your life and into your heart. Are you growing in God? Are you growing in spiritual activities, events, and disciplines? All of those things that feed us. Are you growing in sensitivity to the Lord? Are you growing closer to Him? Are you growing to be more like Him? There is a call of consecration and dedication. You see, we all know that it can become, especially after a time of serving the Lord, we get into our spiritual rocking chair. There's a whole lot of movement, but you're not going anywhere. It's comfortable, but God has not called us just to comfort. He does put the comforter within us. But He is wanting there to be a stretching, whether it's in our worship, or whether it is in our fasting, or whether it's in the reading of the Word of God, or whether it is in faithfulness to the house of God. This is no time to back up. It's no time to walk away. And there's no time to detach ourselves from the truth of God's Word. He said, every branch in verse 2 that bears fruit, He purges it so that it brings forth more fruit. Our highest and ultimate purpose, here, just hear me, everybody. Our highest purpose is to bring glory to God. The way you love your family, the way you provide for your family, your ultimate purpose, the way you live life, the way you perform on the job, the way you're faithful to the house of God and the things of God, the ultimate purpose of all of those things is to bring glory to God. Now, our talent and ability can bring glory to God. His anointing can and spirit leading brings glory to God. But also, according to this verse, His purging can help us to bring forth more fruit. Trials can bring glory to God. Your difficult days can bring glory to God. Loss and sickness and disease or even death can bring glory to God when we remain faithful, when we keep our faith in the midst of all of those circumstances. We're being purged, but God has a higher purpose in that purging. It's not about just the sacrifice. It's not about penalizing you. It's not about Him making us suffer or making us grovel. But He has a higher purpose about that. The reason for this purging is God is more interested in your character than He is in your comfort. He's more interested in making your life holy than making your life happy. And I'm not saying He doesn't want to do all those things, but I'm laying out the priorities of God here. It's not about comfort, it's about character. It's not about happy, it's about holy. The devil tempts us. He wants us to do wrong. God tests us, wanting us to do what's right. God's test is not to make us fail. God's test is to bring glory to Him, and so that we can succeed in doing that. God is not at work producing the circumstances I want. He's at work in the bad circumstances producing the me that He wants. Whatever you want, God. If it's in talent, if it's in blessing, if it's in good times, or if it's in purging, and if it's in trial. This scripture right here says that He purges. Every branch. That almost seems backward, doesn't it? You ought to do something better for them, Master. You ought to do something greater for them, true vine. But He said, every branch that's bearing fruit, I'm going to tell you, if you're going through it, you're bearing fruit. If there's something that's out of your control, and there's something and a question about life and circumstances, now I know we work on ourselves sometimes. This is talking about when God works on us. This is talking about when life unfolds and life happens. God is at work to produce the me or the you that He wants in us. We can be reasonably happy here on earth. But that's not the goal of life. The goal in life is to grow in character and to grow in being like Christ. God, clear everything else out of our pathway and help us to clear everything out of the pathway and see that purpose and that goal of growing in character and to be like the Lord. And when you're being purged, you can focus on your problems. But it would be better to focus on His purpose. It's problem or purpose. And His purpose in the purging is so that we would bring forth more fruit. You say, Pastor, you're just trying to prop us up. You're just trying to cause us to have a positive mental attitude. Well, it may do all of those things, but that's not why Jesus was giving it. He was being honest. He's saying, this is my highest purpose. When I purge you, I want to bring forth my glory, and you're going to bring forth more fruit. And there's nothing more glorious than to see somebody that's walking right through the fire and they've still got their hands lifted and they're praising God. I watch many of you, and I know that there are reasons beyond reasons that you shouldn't be worshiping God, or maybe that you shouldn't be in this service, but you come ahead anyhow because you're attached to the true vine, and God receives glory from that, and the rest of us receive strength and encouragement and inspiration from all of that. If we focus on our problems, we will not be able to focus on our purposes. One of the easiest ways to get rid of the stress and the negative mindset about the purgings that come to us is to move our focus off of ourselves and put it onto God and His purpose, and to put it onto others and the purpose that God has in their life. Many times we never understand why some things happen to us. And maybe this is a partial explanation, but we may never understand the death of a loved one. We may never understand a sickness. We may never understand a job loss or some of the other things that we go through. But if we will put our hand in the one who does hold the future, we can't know and we can't predict the future, but He is the future and He has the future. And this is the God who was, who is, and who's forever shall be. I like what somebody said. God didn't put us on this earth to fulfill a to-do list. He's more interested in what you are than what you do. I'm not discrediting things we do. Those are important. But it is more than what you do. It's what you will be. He's telling us what we will be. We're going to grow. We're going to have more fruit. And then somebody tacked onto that. That's why we're called human beings and not human doings. Because God wants us to be. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to have the fruit of worship in our life. He wants us to have the fruit of faith in our life. We may never know. And by the way, one last thing on this suffering and purging. You may never know the impact your suffering is having on this world, or for that matter, the spirit realm. Look at Job. He didn't know all the things we know about what was happening behind the scenes and behind the curtain. But Satan's in front of God and talking about Job and questioning Job's faithfulness and his integrity. And God gives him the go-ahead, makes him, allows him. But in the midst of it all, Job comes through victorious. He was challenged in his purging. And you can read it in the book of Job. But it had an impact on others around him, and it had an impact even in the spirit realm. When you stay faithful, it is going to impact your life. It's going to impact your family's life. It's going to impact others around you, and it has and it will, but it's going to even impact the spirit realm. Angels, good angels and bad angels, were affected by Job's faithfulness in the midst of his purging. One of the deep messages of this I Am revelation is how important it is to stay attached to the vine. Stay attached. And there's a whole other message in how we do that. Prayer, fasting, talking with God, relationship with God, reading His Word. But the importance of attachment to the vine. He said it in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. He said, except you abide in the vine, except you abide in me. And then verse 5, he that abides in me and I abide in him. But it's the last phrase of that fifth verse that points up the importance. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me. And I know there's a spirit. It wants to rise up in our flesh and in our humanity when we read something like that. And we don't want to talk back to God just out blatantly. But down in there, there's a little whisper that says, yeah, I can. I've heard people talk about that when it came to giving. They said, well, it's my money. I earned it. I'll just tell you, God gave us the strength. It all belongs to Him in the beginning and in the first place. That verse means what it said. The I am vine meant what he said. Without me. That's how important it is to stay attached. Without him, there is nothing eternal that can happen in our life. We can do things that will have an impact on this earth, but we cannot do the eternal. We cannot be saved eternally without him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. In other words, Jesus is saying in this I am passage, I am doing what you cannot do, but he's going to do it in our life. We don't go away with the negative statement, without me you can do nothing. We go away with, yes, I agree with that, God, but what is also true, with you all things are possible, and I can bear more or much fruit. Israel was supposed to have been that vine. The I am steps in and says, I'm about to be what you need me to be in your life. We're the same way. We cannot do, hear me everybody, this is so basic, I know it is, but it is so profoundly important. We cannot do what God has called us to do without him. I've had my ministerial license and went to Bible college before that for, I can't even figure up the number of years right now. But no matter how long I do it, I can't do it without him. Now, I can do a sermon, but I can't do anointing. I can do an outline, but I can't do what God wants that outline to do. Without him, I can do nothing. And many times we have failed over and over, just like the Israelites. We may be able to do, but we cannot do all that he intended without his power and without his help. And whatever it is God is leading you in your life, and whatever you are doing, whether it's through a calling or whether it's being a father or a mother or whatever other human earthly walk or role that you have, we must have Him. Natural ability, hear me everybody, natural abilities, natural talent, natural power, human and earthly resources are right and good, but they are not enough. We must have the Spirit. We must have the Spirit. Whew. I got to thinking about this on the way to church this morning. We're barely into 2019, but I started thinking about 2020, and it's 85 years for Apostolic Pentecostal Church. I'm going to pick on us for just a little minute. I love us, but I'll just pick on us for just a little minute. If anybody ought to know how to worship God, it's an 85-year-old apostolic church, right? But I don't ever want to learn how to do it just by the learning. There's got to be a move of the Holy Ghost that says somebody can come down to an altar. Somebody can lift their hands. Somebody can stand to their feet. Somebody can weep and be broken anytime that they want to when the Spirit moves upon them. Without Him, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. I wonder, do you feel that in your life? That sense, I'm not enough. It sets deep in our souls many days. It's buried down deep, and sometimes we do try to keep it hidden. May not want to admit it because we want so much to be enough. I know we try very hard. But still, there's that little cloud that looms and tells us we're simply not enough. We try everything and we go at breakneck speed and try to achieve. But Jesus, notice His request. He said, abide. There's no action there. Remain. Stay attached. You know, if you move that branch too much, if you try to do too much with it, it's going to disconnect. When we try to do too much in our own power and by our own strength, by our own ability, it'll disconnect. We receive everything we need by abiding and remaining in Him. I encourage you today. You have been praying. You have been faithful. You have been reading the Word of God. The Spirit of the Lord has been talking to you. You have been having your own personal prayer times. That's the remaining and the abiding. And we humans want to focus on action. Jesus said, I want to know, are you staying? Are you standing? Are you remaining? Are you still attached? Oh God. And I'm going to tell you that little sense of I'm not enough. While that may sound negative, I'm going to tell you what that will do. That helps us to stay more deeply connected to the vine. When we realize I'm not enough, I can't go through this on my own, I can't do this on my own, I need to depend upon God, you are going to bless you, not only yourself, but you're going to bless others by that increased faithfulness. I must add here, and I feel this so very deeply today, we cannot be saved on our own and by our own good works. Folks, the coming of the Lord is very soon. And I know people have said this through the years, and the Lord may tarry another 50 years or so. But sometimes when you look around, don't you wonder how much worse can it get? How much more upside down can it get? How many more times can they call righteousness unrighteousness and unrighteousness righteous and okay? The coming of the Lord is very soon. Please hear me, everybody. The coming of the Lord is very soon, and we must be saved. But we cannot be saved by our own good works, by our own just belief alone. We cannot be saved by our own good behavior. Things like, well, I'm a pretty good person, or she's a pretty good person, or he's a pretty good person. The one who said, I am the vine, is calling you today. Repent of any wrong or any sin in your life. Be baptized if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name. It's so important. It's so important. I'm going to tell you how important this is. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, I would not walk out of those doors, any of them, not being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Why? Not because you're fearful, but because it's truth. And sometimes I fear to make that kind of a statement. I'll tell you why. Because people have used scare tactics and abused that. But it's not abuse today. It's passion and it's faith and believing. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, He wants to wash away your sins. He wants your sins to be forgiven and remitted. And the only way you can have that happen, no other baptism, not sprinkling, not any other name, but burial in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And He wants you to receive the Holy Ghost. I want every person in this room to go down that little checklist. Have I repented? I really ask you to do this. Have I been baptized in Jesus' name? And have I received the Holy Ghost? And you can preach your own sermon to yourself. And I hope you're tougher on yourself than I'm being on you right now. But if you have not repented, you must repent, and you should repent. And if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, there's water and we're ready, and there's clothing, and all of the excuses are gone. And if you have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'll talk with you after service. I'll talk with you. I'm going to tell you, but I'll just need to lay it right out there just like it is. This is what the Scripture said. And there's all kind of little this or little that, and there'll always be a little comeback and a little this and a little that, and I'll talk with all of that to somebody with an honest heart. But I just give you the message as clear and as clean as I can today. Repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost, and living a holy and godly life. That's the true message by the true vine. I want to quickly add, no matter how bashful you are, no matter how hard it is for you to take or make those steps to pray to an altar or go to a baptistry, what is happening there, I just want to help you and diagnose this. You are depending more on your personality, both your strengths and your weaknesses, to define and direct you. Let the true vine instead. Let the true vine direct you, His Word and His Spirit. I'm going to tell you, I am going to be held accountable, and so is this church, for every soul. God's not going to ask me up there. Now, He'll take care of me on situations where I hurt their feelings. But when it comes to this salvation plan, it's not going to be about how did you make them feel, Pastor. How did you present the truth of God to them? I also want to add this. God has been dealing with you for several years. Life circumstances, things like health situation, yours and others that you love, and other life situations have been allowed to happen. I'm not saying God caused them, but they were allowed. God intended to use those to get your attention, and He did get your attention, but that was the limit of the attention. He has gotten your attention through some of those things, but you are suppressing those God dealings. In other words, detaching yourself from the vine when that juice begins to flow. You have so many good attributes. You have so many good character traits. You have ethics, integrity, and principles, but you are depending and counting on those more than you are obeying the salvation plan of God. And so, you are unintentionally trying to be the vine. Saying what flows through my thoughts and what flows through my desires is what I will go by. None of us saved and trying to walk with God, we can't prescribe the commitment and the dedication and the holiness that God wants. We have to say, what does your spirit say? I just encourage you, do everything you can today to align yourself with the Word of God and the things that you have learned and been taught by the Spirit and by leadership in your life and by the Word of God. Do everything you can. There's a call for reconsecration today. There's a call for recommitment. There's a call for repentance and water baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Would you stand together with me right now? One of the things a time of prayer will do is say, I am going to stay attached, or I am going to reattach to the vine. Now, I open this altar right now, and you can just begin to come. If you want to be attached to the vine, maybe somebody is going through, or several persons are going through that purging time, but God is trying to explain some of the context and some of the reason for the purging. He's letting you know He's not against us, He's for us. And no weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. Come on, if you need salvation on any level, if you need to repent, if you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, if you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you desire a closer walk with God, if you desire greater fruitfulness, hallelujah. If something has tried to cut away at the branch of your life, come on, I want to reattach. Hallelujah. Come on. We've all been grafted in, Paul said. We weren't supposed to be a part of this vine, but just the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God allowed us to be attached to this vine. Come on. If nothing else, you can come to thank God that I've been attached to the true vine. I'm glad I know who you are, God. That's it. Let prayer happen all over this house. We're going to sing in just a few moments, but just let prayer happen all over this house. God, we acknowledge you. You are the true. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the way. God, you are the bread. You are the light, and you are the true vine. God, let there be fruitfulness today. Let there be fruitfulness by the way that we pray and by what we pray. Let there be fruitfulness from the consecration and the commitment that is being made right now. Let the fruit of a yes to your will, a yes to your plan, your directing footsteps, your directing thought processes right now. You're helping somebody to make the next step, Lord. Yes, yes, go ahead. If you're trying to make a decision, make it a God decision. God, I want to be attached to you. I want this decision to be in sync with the true vine. That's it. Express a dependence upon God. I need you. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this by myself. I need you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. That's it. Fall upon Him. He said we could fall upon Him. Yes. Whatever it is, God, you're receiving us.